Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read a passage of Scripture out of Luke chapter 2, familiar passage. We refer to as a portion of the Christmas story, and then also out of Psalm 91. First, out of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And then out of Psalm 91, verse 11, he, God, has put his angels in charge of you to watch over you wherever you go. Well, the tradition continues in our home. Each year at this particular time of the year, our entire family and many friends know where we are headed. Every year of our marriage of 51 years, Linda and I have gone out to buy a real Christmas tree, even during the onset of popularity and convenience and beauty of all the beautiful artificial trees of every shape and size that are sold most anywhere you look. Linda, of course, has some of those around the house as well, but the real tree remains a tradition in our home. And ever since they were old enough to go with us, which was pretty close to the day of their respective births, our two granddaughters, Hannah and Ellie, have gone with us and assisted in the selection process. This year was no exception. And a few days ago, we found the tree. It was a little smaller than usual because the lot we usually get them from was already a bit low on some sizes. But after careful examination of all the remaining trees, ours was selected and is now standing proudly in our family room. After a few hours of stringing the lights, our tree now stands radiant with what must be all of the colors of the rainbow and waiting for Mimi and our granddaughters to help with all the decorations. In the scripture we read, we see that Joseph and Mary were heading back to Bethlehem, their city, to be registered. And it just so happens that where this world-changing moment was eventually to occur, where God's strange plan to save the world would begin through the birth of a tiny baby in a dirty, dank, dark, and deserted stable, where only the local barnyard animals frequented and found shelter. Mary and Joseph were heading back to Bethlehem to be registered, and, as it turns out, so the virgin birth could take place. All a part of God's plan to save the world. And now, forever set as a point in time from which we set our calendars and mark our days and our lives, their journey causes me to wonder with you for just a moment today where we're headed together. We are in the season which the Christian calendar notes as Advent. Advent is a time for waiting for the Christian community around the world. It's a time of hope, of expectation. Advent reminds us where we should be heading, of what we are waiting to be reminded of and celebrate once again. So where are we heading as we begin this most exciting of seasons? We're in Advent, a season of waiting and hope, as I mentioned, filled with an anticipation and joy, ready to celebrate again this special moment in history. That special moment is what I have seen and been reminded of for years through the hearts and the eyes and the minds and words of our two granddaughters who help us select and decorate our Christmas tree each year in honor of the baby Jesus. Are you headed there? Or are you headed somewhere else? Seriously, you may be getting ready, doing all the things that we usually do to celebrate the birth of the tiny baby, but where are you really headed? Where are your thoughts focused today and along the way? Where is your heart? Toward where the world is pointing you? Where are you heading? It's Christmas. That special day is right around the corner. And as a society, millions of us are preparing to celebrate that day afresh and anew with family and friends. But what will we celebrate when we get there? Perhaps some time off from the office routine, presents under the tree, Santa, football bowl games, decorations, Christmas trees, Christmas parties. We're heading toward Christmas, and those reasons would all seem to be an appropriate part of the celebration landscape of this season each year. And in and of themselves, they're all okay. It's Christmas, just around the corner. And what do we expect to find when we get there? Well, I suppose it depends on what we're looking for, where we're looking, heading, and what we're running after. We're all running towards something. And too often we find ourselves and our hearts are running after the ideal of success, usually defined in terms of stuff and money, things and trophies and awards, image, reputation, and recognition. But if we haven't experienced it ourselves, we know of others who climb those ladders toward a hope for success, as the world defines it, who would be the first to tell you that when they got there, they weren't satisfied or fulfilled as they were sure that they would be. Some of us have been unexpectedly thrown off track from where we know we should be headed during this time of year, and we've lost our focus. We've hit a detour or a roadblock. We're facing a mountain which came out of nowhere. We know what's happening at this special time of year and where we want to head, but we can't get over the word cancer that was just spoken by a doctor. We don't know what steps to take to save a relationship which seems to be ending or which is struggling at best. We've lost a loved one and we can't move on in our hearts. A once promising career has a mountain rising in front of it and we can't seem to get over it, around it, or through it while our finances are fast falling. We know there's a way. We just can't find it now. And if that's not enough, we worry about the IRS and SAT or ACT scores if we're headed to college. We worry about the FBI, interesting, and all the world struggles around us. We worry about education, recreation, and indigestion, that we won't have enough money, or if we do, that we won't manage it well. We worry that someday we'll find out that fat-free yogurt like margarine wasn't good for us. Honestly, did God really come to save us so that we could worry? Would he create you to walk just to watch you fall? Would he be nailed to the cross for your sins and mine and then ignore our prayers? Really? Really? I choose to believe the psalmist's words that we read a moment ago when he said he has put angels, his angels, in charge of you to watch over you wherever you go. Look, we're heading toward Christmas, racing toward the birth that changed the whole world and our lives forever. Where does that fit in within our culture? Where does that fit in with all the worries and the struggles of your day? What priority will that take in your life in the days ahead as you deal with the difficulties of your days and reach Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph, yes, and the baby Jesus? What will we do when we get there? What will we expect to find at the end of that journey? And what will it mean in our lives then and for our lives in the days, the months, and the years to follow? I'll bet, since we've been together this morning, that some worry, some anxiety has crept back into your thoughts. Let's refocus. It's Christmas, the time we celebrate the moment in time where it all really started. The season that reminds us of the hope of all the world coming into the world. Hope always there for you and for me. No matter what the world says is important, no matter the heartaches, the worries, the mountains we face, God had it then and God's got it now. And it all began with his plan that we're heading toward during these next few weeks. I mean, you have to admit that God had a pretty strange plan to save the world by sending his son in the form of a tiny baby, the baby Jesus, to be the savior of the world. And as always, that's where we're headed, to the manger, to the baby. The smaller, cute, and no longer lonely tree standing in our living room will remind us. It's one of our family traditions, which will remind us of that baby every day, right up until that morning, which is coming again in a few weeks' time. And of course, the manger scene our granddaughters always put under the front of the tree each year serves to remind us as well. We're heading to the manger to the stable, my friends, to see the baby Jesus once again, the hope of all the world, the hope for you and for me, God's gift to us, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean, you talk about strange, unexpected, and undeserving. What will we do with the baby when we get there? Do you know where you're heading? Head toward the manger, toward Bethlehem, to the baby. Hey, let's go together. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you did. I thank you for your, how do I put it, your imagination, your infinite mind that thinks of things like this, that many of us would characterize strange, to send your son, the form of a baby, to save us for our salvation, because you love us. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for this time of year where we are heading toward that celebration again to remind us of that which is there every day for us, the hope of our lives and the hope for all the world. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name, we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.